Welcome to Grow Great, a leadership podcast for entrepreneurs. I'm Randy Cantrell. Welcome to episode 350. Wednesday, December the 11th, 2019, Customer Attraction, Building a Better Brand. Today's show is brought to you by ThePeerAdvantage.com. PeerAdvantage is a small online virtual peer advisory group of entrepreneurs who come together to help each other achieve the trifecta of successful business building: getting new customers, serving existing customers better, and not going crazy in the process. You can learn more at ThePeerAdvantage.com. What do your sales conversations sound like? What do they look? What do they feel like? You may think that brand building isn't even a third cousin to sales conversations. Positioning your brand has much to do with sales conversation. I often hear people say, everybody knows our brand. We've spent millions through the years getting our name out there. People in our space, they know who we are. Well, there are at least three levels of a brand that we really have to consider when we think about brand building. First, there's our name, right? I mean, that literally is our brand as used by cattle ranchers who put their insignia on their livestock to differentiate them from the neighboring rancher's herd. Then there's the aspect of our brand in what we promise the customer. It establishes the expectation of the customer. You know, it's why folks like Starbucks or Chick-fil-A or In-N-Out Burger visit any of these facilities. Anywhere they exist, you know exactly what you're going to get. You know exactly what to expect. The third aspect of our brand is the linchpin to it all. It's that one thing that our company owns. It's that one idea that gives us the edge in the market over everybody else. And it's that last one that's the real critical one. And it's not one that's necessarily going to be identical to everybody. In other words, you could ask my wife what soft drink brand comes to her mind, and she'll say Coke. And I'm going to say Dr. Pepper. Now, they've both got the first two down cold. They both have spent a lot of money. Their brand name is very, very well known. They both have got the expectation clearly established. The quality is there. But you could ask multiple people about a soft drink, and you're going to get a different answer because taste and preference and a host of other things can enter into the equation, and that's pretty much the case with most things. You've heard that people buy what the product or the service will do for them rather than the product or the service itself. And it's an old illustration, but it's as powerful as any that I know of, and that is the purchase of a 1-inch drill bit. We buy that if we really need or want a 1-inch hole. We don't care about the drill bit. That just gives us this 1-inch hole that we need. That is indicative of this third aspect of building a brand. We have to paint a picture for the prospect of the outcome they want. That image is what will be planted in their minds if we brand ourselves effectively. When working with leaders about communication, I find myself often engaged in conversations about disengaged or uninspired employees. And eventually the conversation will roll around to culture and things like the stories that people tell themselves, especially the stories of how they fit and how their work makes a meaningful difference. Does their work make a meaningful difference? And if leaders don't give people a great story, and I don't mean fiction, I mean truth, and I mean the best version of the truth. If leaders don't give their team, their people, a great story, people will create their own. And in the context of employees, it won't be good. human nature being what it is, we tend to think the worst and we see ourselves at risk or underappreciated because leaders haven't conveyed to us the importance of our contribution, or they haven't given us a sufficient degree of appreciation when we perform well. We've got all these incongruencies in so many cultures, and it's problematic because, well, we are left to write our own story as employees. Prospects do the same thing. We all write our own story unless somebody tells us a better story. We simply must do a better job of telling our story so the prospect can vividly see the ideal outcome that they are seeking, and they can see it happening with our help, with our product, with our service. I'm a Dr. Pepper freak. If opting for a soft drink, which I don't drink that often, but it's going to be a Dr. Pepper product. It just is. I'll drink Coke, but it wouldn't be my preference. I've been that way since I'm a Pepper. Been a Pepper since I was a teenager. Years of operating retail companies taught me how crucial it is to unify the messaging, the branding. Imagine having six sales reps around the country, each one approaching the prospect in their own way, using different words, using different stories, disjointed, incongruent, a branding train wreck. The prospects for that company, they may know the name of the company, but what else do they know? Probably not much, if anything. If the three aspects of successful brand building, if they form a pyramid, then this company has the first level, and that's all. The next two, which form the pinnacle of the pyramid, they're missing because there are just too many different messages. There's no engaging vision on the part of the prospect where they can see themselves achieving what they most want with anything that those sales reps have to offer. And this is the marketing challenge that, well, frankly, many of us face. The challenge is to quickly and engagingly paint that picture for the prospect. What is the single idea that turns the tide in the sales conversation? That one thing that causes prospects to become customers? Too frequently, companies can't answer it. They can't answer it at all. Or they want to give a litany of a bunch of different answers, thinking that, well, more is better. No, it's not. It's branding death. In short, it's what you're most known for. I'll give you a hint here. You can't be known for everything, nor can you be known for a wide variety of things. Now, Walmart carries thousands of SKUs, but they're known for one thing. They're known for having low prices every day. What are you known for? Think about the moment when your sales conversations turn in your favor. That is your moment of truth. Well, okay, it's one of them. It's your branding moment of truth. I'm currently a real life example. At the present moment, I am in the throes of working to be known for just one thing: online virtual peer advisory groups for entrepreneurs. Branding doesn't end with just making up your mind and deciding, though. I made up my mind and I decided, and now I'm in the, well, relatively early stages of execution. And that's where that consistency enters. And it's why the people who answer the phone have to do it in a way that's uniform and consistent with the message you want conveyed. It's why all of the messaging has to be congruent. It's why those six sales reps can't be left to behave like six different messengers. Everybody must be on the same page, saying the same thing, preaching the same message. Fail to do that? Yeah, you fail to build a brand. You'll just be throwing money at marketing or at advertising. And it won't produce any result. It won't give you any return. There it is. Episode 350. Be well, do good, grow great. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is growgreat.com. We'll wrap it up. We'll put a bow on the week. Lord willing, come Friday. See you then.